them now. If you've already taken them, God forgive you of all your sins, okay? It's okay. Father, we thank you that 2,000 years ago, Jesus had a supper with his disciples. And he took the bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Take, eat it in remembrance of me." And likewise, you took the cup, which says, "This is the cup of the new agreement which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take this in remembrance of me." And here's the thing. Jesus will not taste of the fruit of the vine until we get to that marriage supper, and we'll be there as well. He's going to drink that toast with us. So thank you. So, Father, we eat and drink, Lord, with grateful hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Stephen, for facilitating. God bless you. You may be seated. Is Alicia here today? No, we missed her today. Okay. God bless you. So, I would like to call to the front Sharon Abraham and Hannah Abraham and Haley Gould. Can you stand there, please? We have them all. Fantastic. Sharon, can you come this way? I don't have enough hands, you see. So I'd like to present you a certificate of your water baptism that you did a couple of weeks ago. Well done. How do you feel now? Very happy. Very good. And Hannah, congratulations on your baptism. They are sisters, by the way, so they like to get along. And Haley, thank you. God bless you. Haley Gould as well. Congratulations. So that's just a little keepsake for you, and well done following Jesus' command. So that's good. I'm going to ask the beautifully appointed Ron and Marg whether they might just go around and wait upon you for your morning giving. God bless you as you give into the kingdom. But God said, what you give, he'll give back to you, pressed down, shaken together from the hands of men. So that's the principle of generosity. Amen. Now, we have one more very special thing to do, in that we have to welcome we get to dedicate little Isaiah Amaro. Isn't that fun? Isn't that good? In a house full of girls, they finally got the boy. And all the boys are So we are going to have Mum and Dad come out to the front and bring little Isaiah with them. And if you do have, if you'd like your family to come with you or people that are very close, that would be okay as well. So Zad, come. And Angela, do you want the sisters to come as well? Part of the team, sisters and uncles and brothers. If you could just stand there, please, along the front. That'd be great. Well done. Who do you think he looks like?
Sad.
Looks like Sad. And I just want to say to the Filipinos amongst us, you guys are a huge blessing for us. Your commitment, your love for God, your service. Thank you so much. And you do make up a good part of the church, and we need more. More Filipinos. We could have a race between the Indians and the Filipinos, okay? See how we go. God bless you all. So what we're doing now is that we're conducting a baby dedication, which is different from what other churches do. Some churches do a baptism of babies. Now, where did I put it? Where did I put my brain? Here it is, maybe. Oh. I had it somewhere. That will make life interesting if you haven't bought it. My little pad thing, my little electronic pad. Not there, not there. Oh, that will make life very interesting. God bless you. Okay, here we go. And they're all so beautiful. Well, maybe handsome as well. Yeah, handsome as well. Yeah, you've got a bit there as well. So fantastic. So what we're really doing here is that we are dedicating the parents. So it's not so much the child. The child enjoys favor with God already. He has an angel appointed to watch over him from the day he's born. So this is really a commitment of the parents to raise little Isaiah in the fear and the nurture of the Lord. And parents, I want to tell you, that's not an easy thing to do these days. You do need the grace and the mercy of God to be able to raise children so that when they grow up, the most natural thing will be is for them to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Isaiah is the gospel of the Old Testament. And all the darkness of the Old Testament, Isaiah starts off pretty dark. Whoa, 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 condemnation. Then it turns towards the back and light comes, particularly through the prophet Isaiah. His name means Yahweh is salvation. And the name Amaro comes from the Italian and the Spanish. Like it's a little bit bitter, it's an imperative, but you put Jehovah in it all, life that is bitter can be turned sweet, absolutely sweet. And Sab's first name is like flavoursome. So we've almost got a full menu here from a restaurant. So today we dedicate. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, Jesus is taken to the temple and there's a prophet within the temple, Simeon. He picks up the child and begins to prophesy over the child's life. So it's dedication with a purpose. There's a purpose for this child, as there is for all of us. And what we do is we dedicate mum and dad to fulfill that purpose today in the name of Jesus. So, you know, dad, your daughters are in church every week, so you're doing something right. God bless you. Well, mum's doing a lot of good to you as well. So thank you. And as a family, as a church community, it's also our responsibility. You know, sometimes we just do the dump and run, but we are to be the village that raises this child together with mum and dad. This is to be a safe place, a place where children are loved and nurtured and steered towards Jesus on every chance that we get. When the church does that well, the church is strong and will live. So I'm going to take this child down, but we'll see how this goes. I've had a little bit of breakfast. Such a big boy. How old is he? 2 months. Father, we thank you for little Isaiah. Lord, we thank you for his life. We thank you, Lord, for the joy that he's going to bring to mum and dad. And Lord, there'll be some tears as well. But through it all, Lord, may his life always be filled with love and cuddles. May he know that there's a God in heaven who loves him and will care for him all the days of his life. May your purposes be fulfilled in little Isaiah in the name of Jesus. Back to mum. Back to mum. Yeah. It's pretty special, isn't it? Yeah. So, Father, we do thank you for mum and dad. We thank you, Lord, for the life that they are bringing into their home and their family. And we do pray, Lord, an extra grace upon them, Lord, even at this time. Lord, there'll be money for the bills, Lord, time for the children, Lord, time for each other, Lord, and that in each and everything that's said and done, that, Lord, you'll be the unseen guest in this home, but always welcome and always present. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Sorry?
Thank you.
Thank you. I have a little present for... I'd been better if I could find my little pad. I've got no idea what I'm going to... There it is. It's something little, but hopefully it'll just remember you this day.
Keep shining.
Keep shining. The world needs to see your light. Isaiah? Yeah, amen. And I have a certificate too. We're just getting it laminated for you both. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you. God bless you. Slam up, Paul. Thank you for coming out the front. So scary, is it, all those people out there? Nice hair. God bless you. G'day, Aaron. G'day, how are you? Angel. God bless you. God bless you. Have I done everything I needed to do? Hope so. Praise the Lord. There is just one more little thing. I think it was Hannah and what, Kissia and your Sharon? All the children from the Indians. You know what they did for you? They went out for, no, what they did was they went out and they made a bookmark for you. Free of charge, it's been laminated. And you know what? It's actually the text that I'm preaching on today. He is not here. He is risen. Hallelujah. Fantastic. At our family church. Thank you for that, girls. We really appreciate it, boys. Stick one in your Bible. Okay. How about you stand and spend about 2 or 3 minutes just saying hello to people and wishing them a happy Easter. Happy Easter. I like your suit. Happy Easter. Jesus is risen.
Bless you, my very good friend.
God bless you, man.
Brittany and Monique, okay?
Oh, yeah. It's a horse. One of the horses is sick. Yeah. Hope it doesn't cost me any money, Kerry. Tokyo girl. Praise the Lord. Okay. That's enough friendliness for church. Can't be too friendly. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Well, my text is from Luke 24. On the first day of the week, early in the morning, the woman took the spices they prepared and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the woman bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? He is not here.
He is risen.
Remember how I told you that while you were still in Galilee. So in the words of Luke 24:6, in the Creole version of the Bible, I just love it. Ready for a bit of Creole today? Jesus ain't ya. He gone get up amongst the dead and he da lib again. Do you get the theory? We do live in a changing world, and the generation gap can probably be defined by the question, who is Lara Croft? There's a group of us would say, well, Lara Croft is a video game on the Nintendo, Xbox, something or other. And there's a whole other generation just knows it as a movie, a series of movies. Separates your generations. And some of those names she got because she was the tomb raider. But I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is the best tomb raider there's ever been. Every time he encountered death, he interrupted it and brought life. He did not allow death in his presence. Fantastic. Awesome. So it's customary for people to choose a few words and record them on their tombstones. Here are a few. Excuse me for not rising. And Spike Milligan cleverly said many years ago, I told you I was sick. An epitaph on a dentist tombstone. I'm filling my last cavity. The epitaph on the monument of an army donkey. In memory of Kate, who in a time kicked a colonel, 3 majors, 8 captains, 12 lieutenants, 21 sergeants, and 230 others, and 1 bomb. Tombs do speak to us. And this is a little bit of quirky of me, but, you know, if I'm mentoring someone, I've got the time, the opportunity. I often like to take them to a graveyard. Walk amongst the graveyard and to read the gravestones. And very interesting these days because we've gone so far away from God. Some of the places that they mark the dead, you know, it's an empty can of Jim Beam and, I don't know, a unicorn or some sort of, I mean, it's a nice thing, but all it does is it's junk that deteriorates in the rain. It's got no real message. But there's a tomb 2,000 years ago, that still shouts to us today down through the corridors of history. We just celebrated Holy Communion together. And when you consider, we did that with billions of other people right around the world. Billions of people. 2,000 years later, still said that tomb still speaks. That tomb still has a message for us even this day. If you do get a chance to visit Italy, like some people can, one of the things you should do in Italy is visit the catacombs. The catacombs, there's miles and miles. I mean, literally, one of the catacombs extends for over 12 miles. And it's multiple levels deep. And it came about because something happened 2,000 years ago. Something happened. Where all of a sudden people stop believing in cremation and burning your body as the way to restore your elements back to the earth in some sort of a big recycling program. People started to believe in resurrection. That it was important that the body be preserved as best it can and the bones, and that would be collected in these sorts of places. Amazing, amazing, miles and miles. Something happened 2,000 years ago. I don't know if you want to guess what it was. It wasn't someone inventing a chocolate egg. It was someone who came to the revelation that he gonna get up from the dead and he alive again. Praise the Lord. Archaeologists have just discovered some more catacombs actually dating back to the time of Nero. Excuse my language. Let me quote a very famous passage. Has been quoted by Tony Campolo, but it was originally done by an Afro-American preacher. I just love the way they get into the style of preaching they call it. They call it hollering. It's where they get this sing-song going on in the sermon. I'm not that good and I can't sing and I'm rhythm impaired and all those issues apply. But let me just try and get a little bit of the sense of this because it's so important. It's called It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. Are you ready? Joseph of Arimathea is a secret follower. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Pilate has washed his hands of Jesus. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. Andrew has fallen asleep in the garden. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. John is on the cross, is at the cross, and darkness floods the land. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. Mary, the mother of Jesus, mourns the death of her son. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Thomas has lost his faith and is in doubt. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. Mary Magdalene has lost her deliverer. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. The high priest rejoices as he has rid himself of the revolutionary. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The old saints lie in their tombs waiting the call of God. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Cleopas packs his things to return to Emmaus, depressed and disappointed. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The disciples hide in fear of the Jews. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Christ is stripped naked. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Jesus is given a thorn of crowns to wear. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The Lord is beaten and mocked by soldiers. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Jesus carries the cross to Calvary. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The taunts are thrown up at him. If you are the Son of God, come down from there. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. Jesus is punctured by a spear and the blood flows. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. A thief breathes his last breath and trusts in Jesus. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The Son of God hangs on the cross. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. The soldiers are bored because they've got to guard a corpse. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The devil laughs and gloats in the sheer devilish hatred. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. Death reigns over life. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The stone is rolled away over the tombs. It's rolled once over the tomb's doorway. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. The women wrap bandages over their dead hero. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. There's crying and weeping and anguish amongst the believers. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. Sickness steals away health. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Sin separates all from by the anger of God. It's Friday, but Sunday is coming. And then the stone is rolled away. It's no longer Friday. It's Sunday. Sunday is here and he is risen and alive forevermore. It has been said that for many of us, we are living on Saturday. You know, Friday is what happened with Jesus upon the cross and we still wait for the final resurrection of our body. We're living on a Saturday, but we can choose always to live on Resurrection Day because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives within you. And that resurrection power is available for you even this day. So have you been to the tomb, any tomb, the cross? The tomb is that place of death, the place of disappointment, the place of destruction. The last time I checked, believe it or not, the mortality rate for Australians is 100%. It's a shock, isn't it? 100%. We're all going to die. Sooner or later, everyone will die. I know that's not a cheery thought. Some will die at 5. Some at 25, some at 65. But death is promised to all of us. Sin and selfishness bruise and batter us in life. And some of us are entombed in coffins of disease and disappointment, the habits of hell, the attitudes of Hades, and the feelings of darkness. Like Lazarus, alive but bound with the bondages of death, many people struggle to live in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. So many people, so many Christians are stuck somewhere between Friday and Sunday, stuck on Saturday. Once Jesus left the tomb on Easter morning, we remain in the tomb at our peril. Some of us have to give up the hope of having a better past and die in Jesus and rise in Christ. Amen. There's a scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. So if anyone, are you an anyone here today? Put your hand up for an anyone. We've got a few anyones. Yeah. If anyone, that means you, doesn't it? If anyone is in Christ, then the new creation has come. All the old has passed away. Everything has become new. Well, the NLT puts it this way. What this means is that those who have become Christians are new persons. They're not the same anymore, for the old life has gone and the new life has come. Amen. It's a radical thought, but if you're in Christ, you know, we get to choose where we stand. Now, we can choose to be outside of Christ. Da 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 da. We choose to be in Christ. Da 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 da. If I'm in Christ, then a truth works. The truth is, everything's new, and all the old's gone. You don't only have to do that once in your life. You know, when you're 10 years of age and you gave your life to Jesus, you can do that today. You can make the decision to be in Christ, to locate your life in Christ. And when you do that, everything becomes new. Newness, freshness is available to us all today. Often I'll try and encourage people, you know, if they come to me for deliverance particularly, I'll lead them through the works of the flesh, as listed in Galatians chapter 5. You know, and the works of the flesh are this, 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 and this. And I'll say, well, have you given this part of your life to Jesus? You know, it's one thing to give your life in a general sense, but, you know, have you given them your sex life? Have you given them your thought life? You know, what have you made Jesus Lord over yet? What areas of your life are you yet to say dead? Alive in Jesus. Dead to self, alive in Jesus. And then we pray into those areas and we see people get breakthrough simply by saying, Lord, I now commit to you being the Lord of my life. Just not in the general sense, but in the sense of, you know, what I watch on TV, what I might see on the computer, what I might... You get targeted and you go for it and God will bring you about victory. So the good news is, the tomb is empty. The most visited tomb in the world isn't Muhammad, isn't the Buddha, because he's scattered all over the Buddhist world. It's not anybody else. The most visited tomb in the world is empty. A good friend of mine, and he's ministered to us a few times, is a Messianic Jew. He's got a PhD in theology from Murdoch University. And he was my academic dean. I was the principal of our state Bible college. He went to take over that role. His name was Ashley Crane. Ashley Crane has been had the loss of his wife a few years ago to cancer, and then has a job with One Mission for Israel, One Life for Israel. And his job is to actually help tourists to appreciate the Garden Tomb. And so all these people from all around the world come and he gets a chance to share about who might have laid there so many years ago. We don't know, really, but what we do know, he's not there anymore. Not there anymore. It's fascinating. I'm not teaching on biblical archaeology right now. But this is something fascinating. Like, do you know that God has a sense of humour? You know that? If you didn't know that, look at the person sitting next to you, okay? So archaeologists have found the coffin box or the ossuary. Was in Jewish culture, what you would do is you'd take the body, you'd wrap it up in garments or little rolls. You mummify a little bit. But the idea was so to keep the bones together. So the flesh would rot. They come back in a year, maybe 2 years. They dig up the tomb, take the body, and they put the bones in a beautiful stone box, sometimes with elaborate carvings over it, sometimes very simple. Well, they've found the ossuary box for the high priest who sat in judgment over Jesus. You remember that scene where, you know, who are you? You know, you think you're Jesus, I'm the son, you know, and he pronounced, you know, take him away and blaspheme. We have found his bones. But the bones of Jesus are still missing. I know it's God just saying, we'll see who wins this one. Fascinating. Of all the ossuary boxes in the world that we could still find, we still have. We found the one for Caiaphas, the high priest at the time of the trial of Jesus. Makes it historical, doesn't it? The tomb is empty. And I want to tell you, the tomb is empty. Whatever the loss in your life, whatever the grief in your life, there's a time to move on from the tomb, from the gravestone. Don't stay by the coffin of failure. Don't hang on to the grave clothes of self-centered independence or not trusting in God. Don't delay in the cemetery singing, I did it my way. Oh, God help us. You know what the world's like when I do it my way? It's not good. Jesus is no longer here. The ladies were told he is no longer here. In the words of the angel, why do you seek the living among the dead? There's some advice, isn't there? There are a lot of dead things in this world. You know, some of them are actually physically dead, you know, more like zombies, yeah? You know, just following the crowd. Tick-tock, doom scroll, following what the latest trends are in the world. But the dead things, you won't find life around dead things. You'll only find it in Jesus himself. So back in Mark's Gospel, the women are walking up to the tomb, understanding that there's a large rock in front of it. And so they're asking themselves, who will move this stone away from the door of this tomb for us? It's a biggie. They know they can't do it. And so it's my joy to tell you today, on the authority of God's word, in the power of the Holy Spirit, that there's no stone in your life that God can't deal with. We might ask the question, we may look at it from the outside, it's too big for me, I can't do it, it's too hard, it's impossible. But God specializes with the impossible. And let him in. Let him into your situation. God can take whatever he has, whatever keeps our hearts captive and make it go away. God can wash away our sin and make us truly care for life. God can open up our hearts and bring all the deadness back to life. Praise the Lord. I love it. Over the years, I've seen perhaps maybe in the Teen Challenge, lots of young people come into the program with Teen Challenge. You know, they're drug addicts, they're substance abusers. They've been living rough and tough for a long, long time. And, you know, sometimes you get them in the programs and they're 10 years old and they almost act like they're 4-year-olds. It's like sin ages people in a way that's unbelievable. Makes them old and cynical and sour. They lose their joy and their zest for life. So if you've come here today, not sure about knowing about whether you'll go to heaven or not, I want to offer you the opportunity. Make sure of that right now. I want to invite you to accept God's gift to you, the gift that consists of three big parts. One, regarding the past, you can know that all your sins are forgiven, all of them. gone. Praise God. And you can know in the present of the personal transforming relationship you can have with Jesus Christ. You can have Jesus in your life today. Praise God. And of your future, you can overcome your fear of death with a confident hope, knowing that one day what happened to Jesus will happen to you. He will resurrect you as well. So Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 13 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, confess with the mouth, believe in the heart, that God raised him from the dead. So that's what we're talking about today, isn't it? If you believe that and you can say it, then you will be saved. Hallelujah. You will be saved. It's guaranteed. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will be not put to shame. A number of years ago, a missionary went into a place in the Amazon that was very remote. He was wanting to bring the gospel as well as, you know, medicine and education to these very remote tribes. And he gets to this particular village and he finds that they are now suffering from a plague of measles. Now, measles, if you're not familiar with the virus, you don't have any immunity, can be a very, very deadly disease. And people were dying of measles. And so he said to the village, what I really need you to do is if you can come with me to another village that I've worked with, there's a doctor there and he's got the vaccination and everybody can get the needle and then they will live. And so he tried to encourage him to go on this short journey. It's going to be traumatic, but it will, you know, save the tribe. So he gets to the side of this river. It's one of the tributaries of the Amazon. And he gets to the side of the Amazon and he starts to walk in and all the tribes stop. Oh, what's the problem? He says, oh, we don't cross here. We don't cross the river. So why is that? Well, there's an evil spirit that lives in the water. And if we go into that water, we are going to die and be cursed. He says, no, you need to trust me, trust God that he's going to get you. There's no evil spirit in the water. And look, there's crocodiles and all sorts of other things. So you could see how over the years they might have developed an idea that let's stay away from the river. But now he needs to get them to cross that river in order to get to life. So he's begging them, pleading with them, please come. And they're not listening. They're just frightened. And so what he does is he jumps into the water, dives under the water, swims. I couldn't do that. I swim like a rock. Go straight to the bottom. Swims, gets the other side and stands up in the water with... I made it. And with that, you see, the tribe says, well, he went to the other side. He went under for a while. We didn't see him for a while, but he came up alive. That's what Jesus has done for us. He's the only man who's gone to the other side and then stood up to be seen. I made it. We can have that same sense of security that what he's done for others, he can do for us. That you're going to live forever.
That's right.
Well, that would be really not so exciting if you're going to live forever in the wrong place. But if you're going to be living forever in the right place, alongside the King of the Universe. Woohoo! That will be amazing. So let's just bow our heads, if you wouldn't mind. We'll just pray for a moment. Father, we thank you that, Lord, you've left this message of Easter. Lord, it is more than the eggs and, you know, the holidays. Lord, it's about the fact that 2,000 years ago you came to earth and you died upon a cross. You so loved the world, Lord, that you gave your one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, Lord, we are all here today. We can hear that. And if we believe it, Lord, and if we confess it, Lord, we are saved. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. I just need one last favor before you go. I have some chocolate eggs here on this table. I don't want any of them there, okay? Can anybody help me out with that? Okay, a few people can help me out with that. And if you know me well, perhaps my favorite song is The Greatest Day in History. It's my testimony, the greatest day, the day that Jesus saved me. So let's finish with that song. Let's go out rejoicing. I think we do have tea and coffee ready to go. And there's chocolate out the front. God bless you. Have a safe and inspired Easter in the name of Jesus.
It's actually a special morning.